if you're talking about it.
They're getting nervous, and they should be nervous.
You know, I kind of disagree with what you're saying.
We're talking about it.
You know, I think it's kind of great that you guys have that duality.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Chris Walton and Paul J. Schneider on the News and Talk of Idaho, 670 KVOI.
8:39, Paul J.'s vacation continues. He will be back on Tuesday when all of us are back in the building hanging out.
That's a good point.
David Allen, Chris Walton here with you in the Next Title Studios. It's an Open Phones Friday. You know what that means? The phones are open?
Well, yeah, it means we can talk about the subjects that you choose.
The great thing is that both of us know everything.
I don't know.
So there's nothing you can bring to us that we don't know.
A good thing that might be interesting to do today would be to sum up the year for you. You know, what did you think of the year 2016? What do you think was the biggest thing that happened in 2016? A lot of people would tell you the election. Some people would tell you something else, though. And what do you expect for 2017? Are you optimistic? Are you pessimistic about it?
For me, the biggest thing, obviously, was the election. I didn't see it coming. It was an 18-month slog for all of us here. Mm-hmm. You know, it was a long process, and there were lots of hills and valleys. And because you and I talked about it with Paul J. We'd come in, and Donald Trump would have done something, and we'd say, "Well, that's going to do it." It was a nice campaign while it lasted. And then his poll numbers would go up.
Yeah, and I would mention that. People would say, "Oh, don't you think this is finally going to be the last straw for Donald Trump?" And I'd say, "No, I don't think so. I think almost everything he did over the past 20 years could have been the last straw. And since none of them were, I don't think there's going to be one."
And it was about 6 weeks out that I kind of felt he could win. But then
you were one of the few, I mean, observers anyway, who said that.
Yeah. And I really thought he could win. But I still will tell you, on election night, I was kind of surprised when the numbers rolled in.
You know what?
Anyone.
If you asked a staunch Republican right before the election what was going to happen, they said, "Oh, Trump's got this.
Mm-hmm.
No problem. We've done the math. Trump has all the states he needs."
Yep.
And if you asked a Democrat about Hillary Clinton, they would have told you the exact same thing.
Yes, exactly.
Both sides were absolutely sure they were going to win, which it doesn't happen. There aren't a lot of surprise elections.
No.
You know, maybe Truman beating Dewey.
Maybe.
Considering the newspapers had already called it for Dewey in the middle of the night.
Yeah. But this one came out of the blue. So and I will tell you that all the musical deaths was a big deal. You know, from Bowie and Glenn Frey and
Prince
and
it just seemed
like a lot of people that I liked at one time or another or had CDs from passed away and they weren't that old, and in fact, were right around my age, which is always. And I know their lifestyle is completely different.
Well,
everybody
we just mentioned, with the exception of Leonard Cohen, I don't think anybody was over 70.
No, George Michael dying this past week, and he was 53. Prince was 57, I think. Bowie was
69.
69.
He had not yet reached his 70th birthday.
No, and he looked great. Looked great for 69.
We thought so.
And yet had been battling that cancer for like 18 months.
But he, and again, I think that's one of those deals where somebody had a goal. In this case, David Bowie had a goal. He wanted to put out one more album. And it was like, what was it? Like the day after the album came out, he died.
It was shortly thereafter. That album is great too. That CD is really good. It's got everything that you know and love. If you're a Bowie fan, you love that last album.
Okay.
Blacklight. It's a big deal.
But let's see. Maurice White of Earth, Wind & Fire.
Great band.
Debbie absolutely adored them in the 70s.
Loved them in the 70s.
She loved R&B and
Shining Star,
disco,
That's the Way of the World.
Like September.
Holy smoke, September.
Just, Fantasy.
Yeah, great, great stuff.
After the Love Is Gone.
Yep.
Reasons.
I think my favorite Earth, Wind & Fire is That's the Way of the World.
Yeah.
Because it's got a couple times where he goes, meow, and you just love that. Just love that. I was back when the Brothers Johnson were big. I was huge.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of R&B. Ohio Players.
Stuff. Yeah, exactly. And that's the stuff that she liked, too.
Yeah.
Now, I lived in Twin Falls, so I didn't hear most of that.
Oh, okay.
They just didn't play a lot of R&B on the Twin Falls stations.
I was in Albuquerque. So
there were some number one hits that were by Marvin Gaye and Al Green and Stevie Wonder, and I didn't know them until I got into college.
Yeah.
You know, because it's just, you know, the Twin Falls radio stations just didn't have that format.
Yep.
However, And I didn't watch Soul Train.
Soul Train or American Bandstand or anything?
We didn't have that either. We had American Bandstand. Yeah. We didn't have Soul Train. But
Alan Cornelius.
Very quick. Yeah, I mean, we're going to have to get to one more traffic break here shortly. But I want to talk a little bit about what's going on with Russia this week.
Okay.
And what people think of that. And I would like to know, is this something that... why is Obama, thinking that he has to get all this done in the next 3 weeks? You know, why all the sanctions against Russia and all that sort of thing?
Why the ostracizing of Israel?
Yeah, I mean, at this point, I think I would just save that stuff and say, okay, we're done. But he's got 3 more weeks to go. What are the things he's going to do in the next 3 weeks besides this?
That's a very good point. I thought it was interesting that Putin was his foreign minister said. You should expel all these people. And
exactly.
Putin was like, you know what?
Exactly. Obama said, let's expel 35 Russian diplomats from the country, kick them out of the country.
Yep.
And the foreign minister said to Putin, we need to do the same thing. And he said, no, I don't think so.
Yeah, we'll just wait and see what Trump has to show.
We're going to wait about 3 weeks, and they'll probably send new people anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't worry about it.
All right, 336-3700, 1-800-529-5264, or #670 on your Verizon Wireless.
Open phones. We'll talk about what you want to talk about.
845 now at 670 KBOI. Final check of traffic this morning and for the morning traffic of the year, brought to you by Zions Bank. Speaking on business, listen each Tuesday and Thursday between 7 a.m. and 8 a.m. and 5 to 6 p.m. on 670 KBOI. Sponsored by Zions Bank, we haven't forgotten who keeps us in business. Here's Ron O'Brien. Welcome back to the show. David Allen, Chris Walton with you, 851.
Do you ever think maybe that Putin doesn't want to expel any U.S. diplomats because they're his best source of information?
do you understand what we're getting from these people? Why would we expel any of them?
I want them as close as possible, actually.
You were asking if optimistic or pessimistic going into 2017.
Right.
I'm a little bit pessimistic. I'll be honest.
There was a survey the other day that said 55% of Americans were optimistic.
Yeah.
But something like 37% had no opinion whatsoever. They said, it'll probably be about the same.
The same as what? I guess that's the question. If it's the same as 2016, I'm really pessimistic.
Okay.
Because this was a bad year. There was a lot of anger. A lot of anger. And a lot of...
Well, it was a very heated...
It was. A lot of big stories.
Presidential campaign between a couple of candidates who... probably couldn't be more different, and neither of whom had a whole lot of time to please the other.
And
they weren't that cordial to one another except on stage.
And the backers of them, the people who voted for them, and Trump supporters and Hillary supporters, they weren't very nice to one another. Do you see that changing after January 20th?
Good question. Probably not.
I don't.
I don't see a whole lot changing just based on the way Congress is right now. And Congress... it's very partisan. Everybody wants their side to win.
Yes.
And it's almost getting to the point where it doesn't matter what I back as long as my side wins.
When did it all change from doing what your constituents wanted or having that attitude of let's see what's best for the country?
To tell you the truth, I think it just started this century.
I think so,
I think it started about 2000 or possibly 2001. But instead of saying, okay, here's what you guys want, here's what we want, so in order to get something done, let's compromise and do, this and this and this and this. What we're getting is, we don't like your plan, so we're going to vote it down, and then we'll put our plan forward, and we don't have enough votes for that, so we're going to get paid this year, but apart from that, that's about it.
Or we don't really even have a plan, but we still don't like your plan, so we're just going to shoot your plan down, even though we don't really have a backup plan.
Well, and the whole point, it's the point isn't to do the right thing. The point isn't to get anything done.
No.
The point isn't to reject bad ideas. The point simply is to win, I fear.
I just don't like it, and I don't agree with it, and it has nothing to do with conservative, liberal, Republican, Democrat. It has to do with Congress and the president and what's best for the country. I don't...
This is kind of interesting, too. Before the election or shortly after the election, a whole lot of people were saying, if Trump wins, I'm moving to Canada. Mm-hmm. Especially a lot of celebrities like Rosie O'Donnell on down. I mean, said, if Trump wins, I'm moving to Canada. Well, none of them have done that.
Oh, shoot.
But there's actually a story today that said there are a lot of students that are high school students, believe it or not, who, because Trump was elected, are considering going to college at McGill or the University of Toronto or other Canadian colleges.
Why?
It'll be expensive, but it was going to be expensive here, too. I don't know. I think they just I think they get the feeling that he's going to start a war and there's going to be a draft and they don't want to go, so they're going to Canada instead. I don't know. It's a strange thing.
It is a very strange thing. I don't know. And again,
what's the most trepidation in your life? What is the most trepidation you've ever had at the beginning of a presidential term?
It was kind of the end beginning of a term. It would have been the end of Jimmy Carter's term and the beginning of, Reagan.
And a lot of people felt that way. We had hostages in Iran.
Yeah.
And that was, a lot of what that and the economy were the things that killed Jimmy Carter's bid for a
second. And I was a senior in high school
for a second
his
term.
Last year.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, we were buying houses at that time and paying, 17%, 18%?
Yes.
On our gas lines
loans. Everywhere.
And all those things were going on.
Yeah.
And people said, this can be better. And Reagan basically came in and, he was a huge cheerleader, essentially, mm-hmm. for the United States. He's like, you bet, we're going to do. And people kind of, the general public anyway, at least for about an eight-year period, had a great deal of enthusiasm.
Yes, they bought into what he was selling big time.
Because he just made it sound good.
Yeah. So that would have probably been the most trepidation for me.
Was it good? Probably not. But he made it sound good.
He made it sound good.
And to a lot of Americans, that's enough.
Yeah.
Just make it look like we're doing fine.
Because I was so young when Vietnam was going on, that I don't even know if I knew what trepidation was. So for me, it would have been...
Well, it was just normal. It was like people who grew up, who were born like in the late 30s or early 40s and grew up. We were in a war, and it was just... That's just something that happens.
Yeah. So, it would have been 79 to 80 mm-hmm. when I turned 18 and the hostages and everything. And I wasn't sure what was going to happen in mm-hmm. the future. And that would probably be the biggest trepidation for me in my life.
Yeah.
And probably if I sat back and thought, I did have a lot of trepidation after 9/11 because that was a different set of terrorism.
Right.
That was hardcore.
And here.
Because it was here
on the American soil.
And you always felt, as long as I don't go to Iraq or Iran or Afghanistan, I don't have to worry about any of that stuff.
Except for the fact that everybody knows a bunch of people who did go.
Yeah, exactly.
And I didn't want that to happen either.
Yeah. And then you woke up on September 11th and said, wait a minute. That's all changed now. And so probably a double day of trepidation for me there. 8:56, we've got national news and then local news with Rick Worthington coming up next. My voice is cracking. Open phones Friday. Give us a call, 336-3700 on 670 KBOI.
If you're talking about it...
They're getting nervous, and they should be nervous.
I kind of disagree with what you're saying.
We're talking about it.
I think it's kind of great that you guys have that duality.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Chris Walton and Paul J. Schneider on the News and Talk of Idaho, 670 KBOI.
Welcome back to the show, the final hour of the year, 9:06. Well, not of the year. That made it seem like it was very
That'll start at 11 o'clock tomorrow night.
So, sorry about that. It's the last hour of the show of the year is what I meant. Mm-hmm. Oops. We're all going to make it past 10 o'clock, aren't we?
The Mayan calendar never has been exactly right.
Exactly. I just want to make it till 2.
That should work.
So when we close. Of course, I'll make it past 2 because I won't leave at 2. It's programming. All right. I found the AP top 10 stories of the year. See how many of these you agree with.
Okay.
And what your comment is on all of them.
All right.
Number 10, the Clinton emails. Against the backdrop of the presidential campaign, the FBI conducted an investigation into Democrat nominee Hillary Clinton's use of a private server for email she sent during her 2009-2013 tenure as Secretary of State. FBI Director James Comey called Clinton's practices careless, said the Bureau would close the case without criminal charges.
It was a big story simply because this was someone running for President of the United States who had, as far as people were concerned, blatantly ignored the rules of her department when it came to electronic communication. And when you do that, it puts secrets of the United States, it puts anything in danger or could potentially do so.
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't seem to think it made any difference whatsoever. And the deal is, I realize it could be because she was 67 years old and thought, you know, what's the big deal about some emails? On the other hand, you don't want somebody serving as your president who doesn't seem to understand new technology either.
Yeah. And she didn't help herself. If she had come right out and said, you know what? I screwed up on this one. Don't know what to tell you. But instead, she's like, did you, and when they asked her, did you scrub the, you know, the hard drives clean? She goes, what do you mean scrub? Like with the towel?
No. Did you wipe?
Did you wipe them? Yes.
Did you wipe
sorry.
The server with a
yeah.
towel?
With
you know,
a towel?
And I don't know whether she was trying to be funny or not, because I've never heard her be funny before.
No.
But I get the feeling she wasn't, and it just came off as arrogant.
Yeah, exactly.
And people didn't like that.
Number nine, the Supreme Court. After Antonin Scalia's death in February, President Obama nominated Merrick Garland, Chief Judge of the U.S. Court of Appeals, to fill the high court vacancy.
Right.
Senate Republicans obviously refused to consider Garland or any
now,
nomination.
Merrick Garland was someone who both Democrats and Republicans had agreed would make a good Supreme Court justice
yep.
before Scalia died.
Yes.
He was high on the list of everybody. They said he'd be a good, when they were talking about compromise, they'd say, okay, he'd be a good compromise
mm-hmm.
person. He'd be somebody who's not necessarily, you know, too far right. He's you know, not too far left. He's not too far anything. He's, you know, a very fair guy. And then when he actually got nominated, the Republicans in Congress simply said, well, in the Senate anyway, said, we're not going to deal with this.
Yeah.
You know, we don't have to do it right away, so we're not going to do it until the next term. And they were calling that the Biden rule. The word rule was stupid because it was just something Biden said.
Yes.
There's no rule about
no,
it.
No, of course not.
And in fact, the rule was much closer to say that you should probably deal with whatever the president has put forth. But they didn't bother to. Merrick Garland, I don't think, will ever be.
No, I don't think so either.
Maybe, but I don't think he'll ever be a Supreme Court justice.
I'd love Supreme Court justices.
And the time was just, the timing was bad.
Mm-hmm. I would love Supreme Court justices who, let me think, what am I thinking of? Followed the Constitution.
Yeah.
There we go. Let's try that.
And here's the deal. I mean, and years ago, I mean, we talked about there were some who leaned conservative. There were some who leaned to the left. But we didn't really try to choose our Supreme Court justices based on how we already knew they were going to rule on every case in the next several
mm-hmm,
years.
Mm-hmm.
And that shouldn't be the case. I mean, you shouldn't be in the Supreme Court simply with just one philosophy that doesn't, you know, that doesn't go, let's put it this way, that doesn't go even close to the middle.
Exactly. And I don't need anybody interpreting the Constitution.
Because in the 18th century and several times in the 19th century, there were rulings from the Supreme Court that were not necessarily constitutional, but were simply, you know, based on, okay, well, it's unconstitutional, but I still think it ought to be this way, so this is how we're going to rule.
Yeah.
You know, things like slavery and stuff like that. Segregation for quite some time. You know, they thought segregation mm-hmm. was a wonderful thing.
Mm-hmm.
Until they realize that, well, this means that some people never get an opportunity to take advantage
yes.
of, you know, what's going on in society.
Number eight is Syria. Backed by Russian might, the government forces of Syrian President mm-hmm. al-Assad recently seized rebel-held portions of the virtually ruined city of Aleppo after numerous failed attempts to reach a ceasefire arrangement among warring parties and spare civilian lives, even though it's been tenuous at best, but the ceasefire mm-hmm. has held for the last 16 hours
okay,
or something.
Syria. They have a dictator, Assad.
Yes.
He's not the most ruthless dictator in the entire world. But
no.
then again, he's a dictator, so you
yeah.
don't have to say he's ruthless.
No.
He is a dictator. The group that wants to take over the country may or may not be any nicer than Assad.
Exactly.
And we tend to, in the United States, we tend to support any group that is trying to knock off a dictator or a communist government.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they just set up a different kind of dictatorship. And
mm-hmm.
sometimes they set up, you know, where business is in charge in various countries. But in the case of Assad, we've got another one of those situations where either China or Russia, in this case, Russia, has taken a side. And so we've kind of decided to back the other people,
yes.
which we were doing anyway. And it brings us into, you know, it's Russia versus the United States in a country that isn't either.
Yes.
Again.
Again, yeah. And again and again and again. Number seven, Democratic Party email leaks.
Mm-hmm.
Hacked emails made public by WikiLeaks revealed embarrassing messages among Democratic Party operatives. DNC Chair Debbie Wasserman Schultz resigned over the matter as other DNC officials lost jobs or esteem.
And she had it coming.
Yes, she did.
And the reason she had it coming was the whole Bernie Sanders thing.
Mm-hmm.
If you went strictly by popularity and people showing up to vote, Bernie Sanders should have had the nomination on,
yes.
on the Democrat side. It probably should have been Trump versus Sanders.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the way it was. I mean, and we found out from the Democratic emails that not only had they already anointed Hillary and, you know, were trying to work against Bernie Sanders, which I don't necessarily think the DNC should be doing that.
No.
They should go with whatever the people want, not the other way down. Like, you know, the people will do whatever we want.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the way we're supposed to do things in America. But once they found out that essentially the fix was in and that Hillary was going to be the candidate no matter what, I think that alienated not only a lot of Democrats, but a lot of other people who wouldn't have voted for Trump and would have switched over and voted for Clinton didn't because of what was going on. And they decided that Trump was the better solution.
Number six, attacks on police. Ambulances and other targeted attacks on police officers claimed at least 20 lives in the U.S. this year, according to the AP.
They claim it was retaliation, but it's just murder.
With victims, including five officers in Dallas working at a protest of the fatal police shootings of black men in Minnesota and Louisiana.
And like we've always said, the policemen aren't perfect. Nobody's perfect. But if you have a problem with what's going on in a town or the way the police force is, it would be necessary for you to take them to court. Don't just go downtown and light fires and loot stores.
All right. We're looking at the top 10 stories. According to the AP, we've gotten through the first five. We'll get through the next five next. It's 9:15 at 670 KBOI. Hey, welcome back to the show. 9:19 KBOI code word, rewards code, stories, STORIES, stories. Go to KBOI.com. For the final time this year, get your 5,000 rewards points from the morning show and enjoy life in general. We're doing the top 10 news stories from AP. I know it's a lot to ask, but hey, try. It's the last day of the year almost.
We got through 6 through 10.
Yeah. Okay. Number 5, terror attacks around the world.
Mm-hmm.
The AP names Brussels, Istanbul, and Nice attacks as among the year's highest profile terrorist attacks.
Yeah.
The news service notes, though, that extremist attacks flared at a relentless pace throughout the year in disparate locales around the globe.
Whatever you call them, terrorist attacks, extremist attacks, whatever, or in this country, workplace shootings.
Some people do.
Classify it as that. I'm sorry, but if you're screaming, you know, Allahu Akbar, and shooting people, that's not just a workplace.
Not a lot of workplace going on there.
Got to go with that.
Yeah.
Anyway. Terror attacks are so difficult to anticipate and to react to simply because you don't know where they're going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a logical thing. First of all, I mean, a war isn't terribly logical to begin with. However, the way they used to do it was, we have a dispute. You send out your army. We send out our army. And as soon as somebody surrenders, then the other side wins.
Yeah.
That's the way it was supposed to go. And now it's like, well, we don't have an army, so we're just going to, every time we, you know, get the opportunity to build a bomb, we're going to blow something up.
Yeah.
Now, we're going to lose a guy every time, so we have to do, you know, some great recruiting. Fortunately, I don't know how they recruit people to kill themselves for...
I don't either.
...for a cause that they didn't previously even believe in.
Yeah.
Like, let me explain to you what's going on, and then we're going to have you kill yourself for it. And you go, oh, okay. I'm not busy this weekend.
Now they're getting younger and younger for it. There was a case last week where a father put his 7-year-old... daughter in a suicide vest, sent her into the police station, blew her up.
And the thing about extremists, you sacrifice your daughter,
mm-hmm.
and you think that's okay because I have extreme beliefs.
They're
and
the greater good.
I'm 100% sure that I'm right.
Yeah.
Obviously, it doesn't bother me to blow myself to smithereens or other people because I know it's for the greater good. Blah and blah and blah.
Exactly.
However, with terror attacks, if they retaliate, they don't retaliate against the person who insulted them.
No.
They retaliate against Western culture in general,
mm-hmm.
and that can be anywhere.
There's a lot of that.
That's why there
exactly.
are attacks in Germany and France and the United States and England and anywhere where they basically don't just adhere to Muslim culture.
Number four,
the way, ancient Muslim culture.
Number four, the Pulse nightclub in Orlando, Florida.
Same
deal. The mass shooting at a gay nightclub in the central Florida city.
Same deal. The guy had lots of problems.
Was the worst in modern U.S. history.
The guy had lots of problems. I think when it came down to it, it was a terrorist attack.
Oh, without a doubt,
But, I mean, there were a lot of other reasons why he was in that particular club.
Yeah. Number three, black people shot by police. The July deaths in police shootings of Alton Sterling and Philando Castile in Baton Rouge and St. Paul, respectively, rekindled a debate over police practices and the Black Lives Matter movement.
Here's something that, I don't know, I guess I think about it as a, I suppose, as a white person. I get pulled over by the police, and I've been pulled over by the police, you know, a handful of times in my life, usually for taking a wrong turn someplace or like
speeding,
or once or twice I was going too fast or I missed a light or, you know, whatever it was. I mean, just regular traffic stuff, never anything that's a big deal.
Yeah.
And when I get pulled over by the police, first of all, I'm not afraid. I'm annoyed. I just wait for them to come up to the window, and I don't know where I have my hands because I've never worried about
never
where I have my hands.
Never had to worry about where I have my hands.
Normally,
exactly.
They don't bark orders to me. They come up and actually knock on the window. Now, that's probably because I'm a white person.
Yeah.
Now, there are a lot of black guys who, as soon as they're pulled over, the cop comes out, they're on both sides of the car, and they've got their guns drawn.
Yep, exactly.
And, you know, and I know myself well enough to know that in that situation, I would follow any orders that were barked at me. However, I wouldn't be afraid that somebody was going to shoot me by accident. I'd think, okay, there must be a good reason why they've got their guns drawn. And if you're black, it's a completely different deal.
Yes.
Simply because they approach you, and some of these shootings we saw that there wasn't anything particularly dangerous going on. It's just that they failed to do something, you know, to the letter of what the cop said.
Mm-hmm.
If the cop said, okay, I want you to keep your hands in plain sight, and his hands disappeared, they fire into the car.
Yeah.
And that seems a bit extreme, you know. And I mean, obviously, there are people who you pull over and they will try to kill the cop.
Yeah,
you know, and get away with
it. It's a complicated issue on both sides.
But it's a very complicated issue. Do I think there's police brutality out there? Yes. Do I think every cop is doing it? No.
No.
Do I think everybody that's ever been shot by a cop was shot unfairly? No. Not even close.
Yeah. All right, let's get through these last two in 90 seconds.
All right.
Number two is Brexit. The UK vote in June to quit the European Union stunned pollsters and political commentators and felled a prime minister.
Mm-hmm. In England, they were trying to protest something that they didn't like and were not given the correct facts about what it would mean for them personally if they voted if they voted to change it.
But they voted to take their country back, and that might have something to do with number one.
You know, and that could be a good idea, or not.
But I think that links directly to number one, which is the U.S. election.
Right.
The arc of 2016's top story in the AP view can be traced back to Donald Trump's descent of the
escalator to
a Trump Tower lobby.
A lot of that simply had to do with the pundits, the people on the news, because for the last couple of months, they've been showing nothing but clips of people from a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
Just laughing about the fact that, you know, Trump was even running, that
yep.
it was just a joke, it was just stupid, there was no way he would ever, of course he's not going to be the nominee, you know, he'll probably be out of there by after the first week of, nope, didn't happen. And it really let a lot of us in America know, what I think a lot of us knew anyway, but it let us know that the people on the news aren't necessarily the smartest people in the entire world.
Exactly.
They're going to get stuff wrong from time to time.
A lot.
And that's why we have to, you know, read a lot of sources, listen to a lot of sources, and decide for ourselves what's going on.
9:26. We've got news with Rick coming up next. Then Chris has got a story that's going to make my head explode. You won't want to miss it.
Oh, I'm sure it will.
This is 670 KBOI. Welcome back to the show. 9:37 now at 670 KBOI. David Allen, Chris Walton with you. Let's go to Fred in Boise. Fred, you're on 670 KBOI. How are you today?
Good morning.
Hello.
Happy New Year.
Same to you, sir. Thank you.
Yeah. I heard you guys talking about what you need to do when the police officer pulls you over and that. And I thought you might enjoy a quick story that a friend of mine told me about two guys going through Wyoming on their vacation. They got pulled over by a trooper.
Yeah.
And a trooper walked up to their driver's window and tapped on it with his baton. And the guy opened the window and he hit them in the head. And he goes, "Oh, what did you do that for?" He says, "Well, this is Wyoming, son. And when you get pulled over, you're supposed to have your driver's license, insurance, and registration ready right when I get here." He said, "Well, I'm not from around here. I didn't know that." He said, "Oh, you just hang on." They got the papers, and he went back to his car and checked it out and came back up. Says, "These papers are okay, but just hold on a minute." So he goes around the other side and taps on that window, and the guy opens up the window and bops him on the head. And he's going, "How would you do that for?" He says, "I'm just granting you your wish." His wish? What are you talking about? I don't have a wish. He said, "Well, I figure about time you get down to about a mile down the road, you're going to turn to your buddy and say, I wish that smart-ass cop would have tried that on me.
Yeah, exactly.
Thanks, Fred. We appreciate the call.
I like that.
I'm just going to beat the rush here and just go ahead and...
I like that. I could kind of see that one coming down the street,
exactly.
But still, that's a pretty good joke.
You know, that is a frustration of mine, because when I first moved up here, there are laws in Idaho that there aren't in Texas or New Mexico, where I learned how to drive, so I had to kind of change. Don't you think there should be uniform driving laws in every state?
No.
Okay.
No, I've always said this same thing, and I probably always will. I liked it better back when every state had different rules for everything. That, you know, then you had more of a choice of like okay, I'm going to live in Florida because they do this. I'm going to live in Nevada because they do this. And
if I'm driving from Idaho to Oregon, I don't want to have to go, well, now what are the Oregon laws for me driving?
Well, then interstate commerce may not be your thing.
I don't think it is.
Okay, well, like, for instance, I don't even know what it is now. It could be different. And I'll tell you quickly here how fast laws change. On Sunday in the state of California, based on their legislative session this past year, there will be how many laws going into effect?
Way too many.
900 new laws in California will go into effect on January 1st.
That is absolutely insane.
I don't think even those in the legislature who passed them know what all of them are.
No, there's no way. They couldn't. There's not a chance.
No. Another thing that's happening Monday is that minimum wage will increase in 20 states.
You told me 19 in the break.
Well, I went to the Wall Street Journal, and they've increased it to 20.
Oh, shoot.
And I'm going to go with what they said. Minimum wage will increase in 20 states at the start of the year, a shift that will lift pay for millions of individuals and shed light on a long-running debate about whether mandated pay increases at the bottom do more harm or good for workers. I'm thinking within 12 months, we'll know because of a whole bunch of businesses shut down and nobody has a job. Then you'll know it probably wasn't the best thing in the world. But in Massachusetts, the minimum wage will rise $1 to $11 an hour. Currently, it's 10, obviously, a change that affects about 291,000 workers. In California, the minimum goes up 50 cents from $10 to $10.50, and that'll boost pay. In California, that's 1.7 million people.
Yeah.
Who are going to get more money. Wages are also going up in many Republican-led states where politicians have traditionally been skeptical of the benefits of minimum wage increases, simply for the fact that they tend to be pro-business. And whenever you charge businesses more money for anything, they tend to shut down, and then there are no jobs. In Arizona, one out of every 9 workers is slated to receive a wage increase, a move businesses are challenging in court. So will tens of thousands of workers in Arkansas, Michigan, and Ohio, all states that backed Republican President-elect Donald Trump in November. Some of what Trump tapped into was people wanting to be paid more, said David Cooper, an analyst at the Economic Policy Institute, which is a left-leaning think tank. Voting for a minimum wage increase is one of the ways to make that happen for a lot of people. In all, about 4.4 million low-wage workers across the country are slated to receive a raise because they earn less than the new minimum in their respective states. Economists and policymakers are of two views on the costs and benefits of minimum wage increases. While the policy puts more money into the pockets of low-wage workers, it also gives employers less incentive to add to their payrolls, leaving some workers behind. So, again, this is something designed to help people with jobs. But what it's going to do is, yes, it'll help the people with jobs, but won't help anybody who doesn't already have one.
I hate
and some of the people with jobs may find that their job's been eliminated.
I hate mandatory minimum wage. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. Let the marketplace decide. If you're a terrible worker, you're going to be getting a raise to $11.
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense to me.
The only situation I think that people are afraid of, they're afraid of that they're going to go out there into the working world looking for a job and figure out that the best one they can find, and this is with almost any level of education, that the best job they can find still will pay them a lot less than they'd like to make.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some people are going to say, you know, welcome to the world. That's what happens.
Yeah.
However, if you've decided you want to do something for a living and you find out later that it's a bad idea because, you can't even pay your rent, I guess that's on you. That's a personal responsibility. And people have a tendency a lot of times to have kind of a, what do they call it, a laissez-faire attitude with their own lives. Like, well, let's just wait and see what happens, as opposed to planning well and getting things done. And, of course, if you start out dirt poor, chances are you can't make a plan that you can stick to anyway.
Exactly. All right, before we take a break, let's get to the phone. Scotty in Middleton, you're on 670 KBOI. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Now listen, have a happy Christmas, and I'll leave a Scottish blessing with you. Lang me your lum reek. Now, there's something for you to unravel.
Nice.
Anyway, I'd like to ask a question.
Sure.
You said that you had a book that had all the answers. I'm going to ask a question, and I'm going to see if you can answer it.
Okay.
Who is the foreign general and his staff that are buried in Arlington Cemetery?
Oh, the foreign general?
Yes, a foreign general.
Oh, I should know that. Can't think of it, though.
Okay, well, I'll give you the answer.
All right.
The name of the general is Ord, O-R-D, Wingate.
Oh, like in Fort Ord. Yeah.
He is the father of the Israeli Defense Force.
Okay.
Anyway, gentlemen, hey, I'll let someone else go on.
All right,
you
Scotty.
Have a happy New Year.
Have a happy New Year, my friend. Thanks for calling in. Hmm. I just looked at that. There's about 25 foreign nationals buried.
But not necessarily a general.
No, I know. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, I've taken a tour of Arlington National Cemetery, but I can't remember every single thing they told me.
No, obviously.
Yeah. I remember a lot of stuff about JFK and about the Challenger crew and all that sort of thing.
Sure. All right, Mark and Rich, you guys hang on. It's 9:45. We'll get to you next, the final segment of Idaho Talks Live, coming up next on 670 KBOI. Trust me, they are not ready for my celebration.
Woo!
By the way, I'll just be staying home playing PS3. So,
I don't have any video games, so I won't be playing PS3, but I'll probably be home.
Well, there you go, see?
Yeah.
They're not ready for either one of our... All right, let's go back to the phones. Rich! You're on 670 KBOI. How are you, sir?
Oh, good. Well, in every single state and in every single instance for the past 50 years, when they raised the minimum wage, they grew their economy and actually created jobs. This isn't a new thing. We're not guessing what will happen if we raise a minimum wage, because we've done it over and over and over again for 50 years.
How does raising the minimum wage create jobs, though? I mean, just give us a quick.
Oh, well, that's just simple basic economics. Those people, instead of just living hand to mouth, they have a little bit of extra money. They spend that money, and that grows the economy. I mean, that's the same principle as when conservatives say if you cut taxes, it puts more money into the economy and grows it. It's the same principle. When people have more money to spend, they spend it. Whenever we've had these, Bush did it a couple of times, they had these stimulus packages where they gave people back tax rebates or tax money. The people with money just stuck theirs in the bank. The people without money spent their money, and that's really where you get your growth. When people have more money to spend, they spend it on other things. It creates jobs and other businesses. People working for minimum wage, in Idaho, people working for minimum wage at McDonald's can barely afford to eat at McDonald's. it's done that. It's nothing we have to guess about. We have records for years and years to show what happened.
Okay.
All right, Rich, thanks for the call. We appreciate it. Let's go to Kevin in Meridian. How are you this morning? Kevin, you're on 670 KBOI.
Hey, Dave and Chris. I tell you what, I just got back from Colorado Springs, stopped at my favorite fast food restaurant, and went in and ordered a spicy chicken, and they said $1.59. I said, $1.59? It used to be a dollar. He said, the day that they increased minimum wage here, they increased the cost of this.
Yep.
Now, do you think they needed to, or was that just their excuse to do so?
I guess it was their reason to do so was to maintain a profit margin, but it was the manager of the store that told me that, and I said, Well, there's an argument for raising minimum wage. Let's raise all the prices of all of our goods as well. So the argument may be made on the one hand that it increases the economics. But
the way I look at it, I don't drink soda anymore. I did for many years, and my wife and I both just quit soda. Cold turkey, but we quit at cold cola. And what I used to do is I'd bring in a dollar with me to work, and we had a machine where the pops were 50 cents, and so I'd get two every morning. Then they raised it to 55 cents, and I stopped buying them altogether.
right.
Because I couldn't get two for a buck anymore, so rather than bring an extra dime, I just stopped. I just started drinking more coffee and water.
Well, you're as chintzy as I am, and I tell you, if they keep raising the prices of the burgers and the chickens, I just won't go there again. I'll choose to eat somewhere else or choose not to go out at all.
Well, I mean, when it comes right down to it, I can make a hamburger a lot cheaper at home.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, Kevin.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, sir. Thanks for checking in. We appreciate it. Final call. I'm getting all choked up a little bit. Final call of the year for this show, Mark. You're on 670 KBOI. How are you?
Hey, good morning, guys. Hey, real quick, I saw in today's Statesman, GOP lacks answers on reckoning day for Obamacare.
Mm-hmm.
You know, somebody's been a self-employed, small business owner for 30-plus years and having to not be able to afford insurance this year, I would ask everybody out there who's in my boat has to pay the penalty this year to call their Congress and senators here, Raul Labrador, Simpson, Risch, and basically say and ask them to ask Trump when he gets in there to make it retroactive and repeal that as a gift to the people who helped get him into office, repeal that tax that we have to pay, because I'm going to have to pay a penalty just because of this. And my insurance, I'm 60 years old. Basically, I have my tonsils, I got my gallbladder. I mean, I have no major operations. Don't smoke. But my insurance
drinks like a fish.
Oh, geez, it would cost me $600 and change just to insure me. I used to be able to insure my entire family of three kids and my wife with almost half of that years back. Now it's $600 and some odd for me to get insurance. I couldn't afford it. I dropped it.
All right, Mark, thanks for the call, man. Have a happy New Year, brother.
Thanks, you
Take
too.
Care. You know what? You brought this up. It was either yesterday or Wednesday. I lose track of days because they all run together. That you had said it was either an instant message or a report you were reading that saying that if Trump does nothing except repeal the penalty, the fine for not being on Obamacare, will move people ahead so much farther. Just that simple thing, rather than if they just take away the fine for it, will do a lot for America.
And what that would say is, here are all of your opportunities to buy health insurance, but if you don't, we're still not going to charge you anything.
Exactly.
And I think people would prefer that. They just, people like to have a choice.
Yeah.
They will choose to pay if you give them a choice, but if you don't give them a choice, they'll never want to.
Exactly. Hey, as we get out of here, I want to thank everybody for listening all year long. It's been a great year for us. We've been very successful, and we couldn't do it without the loyal listeners. Chris, thanks for a great year. We appreciate it. Todd with 1D. Up next is something to think about with Mike Rogers. Thank you, Todd with 1D. I appreciate it, brother. Brought to you by the Boise Church of Christ, located at 2000 North El Dorado. That's the Boise Church of Christ, where church is family. Have a safe New Year, everybody. We'll see you on Tuesday on 670 KBOI.
Now, something to think about with Mike Rogers.
How many times have you noticed a little boy with long hair? Sure, we've all heard the, is that a boy or is that a girl? When I grew up, I didn't have a choice in the hairstyle department. It was either short or shorter. As one of five boys, our barber was my dad. I think he learned to cut hair in the Air Force, only he didn't do it too well. The only style he knew was buzz cut. That's buzz cut short or buzz cut shorter. Christian was an 8-year-old boy who started to grow his hair long. For 2 years, he didn't cut his hair. Turned into a bit of a, hairy situation. He was bullied by other kids, pressured to cut it by others. But Christian was on a mission to help sick kids he had seen on TV that had lost their hair battling cancer. He decided to grow his hair 10 inches and donate it to Make a Wig, and he did exactly that, proving once again you can't judge a book by its cover. Young Christian may be a bit shorter on hair these days, but he is surely taller in stature. Something to think about. I'm Mike Rogers.